Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai. Daf Pezayin. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of Yosef ben Simcha, Sheniftar b'kitzur yamim v'shanim, Ruach Hashem t'nechenu b'gan Eden. Today's daf is being studied v'elo nishmat morenu v'rabbeinu Hakam Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem t'nechenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We are studying Daf Pezayin, and we are 6 lines from the top. We're at the Metive. Let's just review what we're involved in. We are involved in the Mahloket between Rabbi Yoseh and the Hachamim, exactly the schedule of what happened before Matan Torah, the days leading up to Matan Torah. As we learned, everybody agrees that Matan Torah was on a Shabbat, and they all agree that we got to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The Mahloket between Rabbi Yoseh and the Hachamim was, when indeed was Rosh Chodesh Sivan that year? Rabbi Yoseh says it was on a Sunday, and Hachamim say Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. And based on that, it changes if Matan Torah was on the 6th or the 7th. And when we say Matan Torah, it should be pointed out, it's referring to the Aseret and the Berot. It means that was the day we received the 10 commandments. So comes the Gemara and says, Metibe, we have a question from a Braita. Pasuk says, V'kidashtem hayom umahar. God told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people that they should sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. I mean, this was the law of Pirisha. This was the law of abstinence that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, that they have to sanctify themselves seemingly for 2 days. So the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbi Yoseh. This is a question according to Rabbi Yoseh. Why? Because he says that the Pirisha took place, the law to be Purish took place on Wednesday. So if God is saying, V'kedashtem hayom umahar, so that's Wednesday and Thursday. So therefore, the Torah should have been given on Friday. So therefore, we're short 1 day. It's only 2 days. So comes again, one of us, Amma lecha Rabbi Yoseh, Yom Ehad Hosif Moshe Midato. The big Hidush. Moshe Rabbeinu added 1 extra day on his own. Which means you're right. Really, from the strict of what God's law was, it's Hayom Umahar. Technically, the Pirisha should have been Wednesday and Thursday. But on his own, Moshe Rabbeinu added Friday as well. The Tanya, we have a Braita, Shlosha Devarim Asa Moshe Midato. There are 3 things that Moshe Rabbeinu in his career did on his own. V'eskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emo. And God acquiesced, God agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu's thinking. Number one, Hosif Yom Echad Midato. He added 1 extra day to the Pirisha, to the days of abstinence, on his own. U'pinesh Ben Aisha, and he separated himself from his wife after Matan Torah. That was also done on his own. V'shavar et aluchot, and he also broke the tablets. That was not directly told him by God. He did it on his own. The Gemara will now analyze each one. Hosif yom echad midato, he added 1 extra day on his own. So the Gemara says, Maidarish, where did he, what was his dirasha? Where did he learn that he was able to do such a thing? So it says, Hayom umahar. God told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the people, V'kiddashtem hayom umahar, today and tomorrow. Hayom kemahar. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a dirasha, so to speak. And he said there must be a connection between today and tomorrow. Meaning, ma lemahar lelo imo, just like the morrow was including the night and the day. For example, God told the Zimon, let's say Wednesday. So the following day, the Thursday, was a complete day. It had Wednesday night and Thursday. So he made it, did I say, he said, just like the morrow had a night and a day, so too you need full night and day. Wednesday, it was missing Tuesday night, it was missing the night before it. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra full day, which is Thursday night and Friday. So he zoresh mahad kayom. So again, it says my daddy shayom mahad hayom ke mahad. Means today has to be like tomorrow. Ma le mahad lo imo afayom lo imo velayla daydana nafkale. But the night of Wednesday already was gone. Because Tuesday night had passed already. So therefore, Shma'mina, he understood, Tre yome levar me'idana. He understood that it means two more days besides Wednesday. Which is, they have to be complete days. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's derasha was. So therefore, you can't count Wednesday because it wasn't complete. So it's two besides. If we included Thursday, you have Wednesday night and Thursday, that's complete, and included Friday, which you have Thursday night and Friday. So therefore he was Doresh, that it's not only Hayom Umahar literally, today and tomorrow. He learned that just like the tomorrow was a full day, so you needed two full days like that. Now the only question is, if that was his Dirasha, so then why is it saying the Gemara that he did that on his own? I mean, he had a basis. He had a derasha for this. So Tosafot says on top of the daf, enzu derasha gemura. That's not a full derasha, complete. Elamashma dehayom mamash. Which means really, hayom means hayom. De'i lavachi enze medalto. Exactly. Which is really, if we be literal in the pasuk, it says, v'kedashtim hayom umahar. Hayom means Wednesday. Moshe Rabbeinu on his own went and made a hadush that way. So that was the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. Comes again on to Zumin Alan, the Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yado. Well, how do we know that God agreed with him? De lo shari ha-shekhinah ad safra de shabbetah. Because we know that the Shekhinah did not come down until Shabbat morning. Now obviously it's because God agreed that Friday was still considered a day of Perisha. The second thing Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, Upiresh Mina Isha. And after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu stayed celibate from his wife. He did not go back to his wife. So Gemara says, my darish, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's derasha to do this? He says, Nasa Kal Vachomer Be'atzmo. He made a Kal Vachomer. Amar, and he said, Uma Yisrael, Shelo Debera Shechina Mahem, Ela Sha'ahat. And what regarding the Jewish people? That the Shekhinah only spoke for them, to them, one time, or for a small amount of time. Ve'kava lahem zman. And God also told them the exact time that he's going to appear to them. So everything was clarified. The amount of time and the when. Amrat Torah, still, what did the Torah say? Ve'yu nechonim. God tells the people that they have to be prepared l'shloshet yamim al tegeshu el isha, which means, and still they have to refrain from being with their wives. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, ani shekot sha'a v'sha'a shechina medaberet ami, me, that I have communication with God every moment, ve'eno koveya li zeman, which means, and God does not specify a specific time, which means it can happen at any time, the communication between God and Moshe. Alahat kama v'chama. All the more so, I have to be ready for the communication, and therefore I have to separate from my wife. If the Bnei Yisrael knew exactly when it was going to happen, and God foretold them, and still they had to be ready. I speak to God very frequent, and it's not designated the time, it can happen at any moment, so therefore I have to be on guard at any time. So therefore, Kol Shekhen, Kal Vachomer, have to separate. Uminalan deskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yado. Well, how do we know that God agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu? Dichtiv, Lech Emor Lahem, because God tells the Jewish people after Matan Torah, God tells Moshe, Lech Emor Lahem, go tell the Jewish people, Shuvu Lachem Laholechem. Go tell the Jewish people they can go back to their tents, meaning they can go back to their wives. Uchtiv batre, and then it says, Ve'ata po amod amadi. But God tells Moshe, and you stand over here with me. So that implies that God agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning you stay here, don't go back to your wife. That says that God agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. Deita amni, and some say pe el pe adabir bo, as the pasuk says that God says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu pe el pe, that I speak to him face to face, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was a higher level of prophecy. The Mefarshim point out pe el pe is like a husband to a wife. The husband kisses his wife pe el pe. So God was saying, so to speak, he is married to me, so to speak, and therefore the relationship is between God and Moshe, and therefore it's approval that he was able to separate from Sipora. Now on this derasha, there were some very important Tosfotim. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu made a kal vachomer over here. And he said, and what if the Jews had only spoke to God once, and they needed to separate from their wives? So I, who speak to God very frequent, and it can happen at any time, kal vachomer. So the Tosafot asks, a kal vachomer has a status of Torah law. Which is kal vachomer is one of the ways that we derive Torah law. So therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu had a legitimate kal vachomer, it's not midato. This is not considered from his own brain. This is considered a kal vachomer, which is Torah. So why would the Gemara say it's midato? So the Tosfot and the Bura Matkilu Ma Yisrael says the Yeshua Delo Avi kal vachomer gamur. It's really not a full-fledged kal vachomer. Deshani Ata Mishum Aser is the Berot. Because I can say maybe different. Maybe the reason why Am Yisrael had to separate from their wives, because you're receiving the Ten Commandments, you're receiving the Torah, maybe that makes a difference. Maybe it wasn't Stam a revelation. It was a revelation of the Ten Commandments, receiving the Torah that has to be Bikdusha, Uptahora, etc. Maybe another revelation doesn't need the same level of Tahara. So therefore the Kal Vachomer is not full-fledged, therefore you cannot say it has a din of a deoraita. Then in the next Tosfot, the Kaval Hemzman, he questions even the logic of the Kal Vachomer of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Tosfot says, Tema Leri, Dehi Anotenet. On the contrary, your Kal Vachomer is a reason, Moshe, that you shouldn't have to separate from your wife. Why? Dimishum Shekabal Lahem Zman. Because the fact that God gave them a specific time, and they knew it was a vadai, they knew that for sure God is going to speak to them, that's why they had to separate. But who says that from a case of a vadai that you could learn a case of safek, which means Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know when God's going to appear to them. It's to him, it's not explicit. God told them when he's going to appear. It could happen at any time. So every moment, it's really a safek. So how could you learn from a case of where Am Yisrael knew vadai they're going to have a revelation? So in a case of vadai, that's why you have to separate from your wife. But in the case of safek, maybe you don't have to. It means the kal vachomer he's saying it's not apples with apples. Which is not exact. Which means I could argue. Say, that's exactly why Bnei Yisrael had to separate from their wives. You know why? Because they knew bevadai 100% God said, this day I'm going to speak to you. Okay, so you could learn from there. Then in the case when you definitely know that you have to separate. But Moshe Rabbeinu never knew definitely. It's a safek. It's always, he doesn't know when. So maybe in the case of safek, you don't have to. So what's your kal vachomer from Bnei Israel? So Tosfot says, V'yesh tomar, t'lahem name ika safeka. To them they also had a safek. Sheme lo teflot. Which means, who said that these ladies were going to be poletet shechmat zera? Which means, the only reason why you needed the 3 days of abstention is because a lady might have zera in her, and the zera in her doesn't render a tameh, tameah. What might happen? The zera might come out within 3 days, and therefore render her tameah. And on that safek, that the lady might have an emission of zera that's in her, it's a safek. It's not for sure it's going to happen. And still, what did God say? Separate. So you see that the separation was even ala safek. So then Moshe Rabbeinu said, if they had to separate ala safek, that maybe they'll be poletet shekmat zera. So then also me, I have a safek. I don't know when God's going to appear to me. It can happen at any time. So therefore, also I have to separate. So therefore, Tosfot just makes the Kal Vachomer apples to apples, sefek to sefek. Now, the next Tosfot deals with a very, very strong question. Tosfot asks, V'im tomar, minalan de pirish Moshe midato kodem v'shu v'skim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado, shema zeu sivui gamur shesivalo lefrosh. After Matan Torah, God specifically told Moshe, Ve'ata po amot amadi. You stay here, don't go back to your wife. So Tosfot asks, maybe that was the commandment that God gave Moshe of abstention. Who said he did it on his own? What's your proof that he did it on his own? Adrabah, this was the commandment. So Tosfot says, Ve'tiretz rabenu tam, tim'ita de mahmat sivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu pirech v'lo medato. Because he says, if you're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu did it because of the commandment of God and not on his own, later on, as we know in the Torah, Aharon and Miriam questioned Moshe's celibacy. Right? They said, well, did God only speak to Moshe? God spoke to us as well. And therefore, it must have been obvious that they understood that Moshe Rabbeinu did this on his own. Because if they understood that God told them to do it, so therefore they wouldn't have spoken about Moshe Rabbeinu. Tosfot says, Aaron knew about that commandment, Vatapo Amod Imadi. But you know how Aaron and Miriam understood it? Aaron and Miriam understood it. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to do it on his own. And we have a principle, Bederech She'adam Rotze Lelech Bamolichinoto, that when a person makes a decision to go down a certain path, so God will agree with that path. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Which means God will lead the person down that path. So they understood when God said, V'ata po'amod imadi, that was just God saying, right, if that's what you want, fine, then stay here. So they questioned Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have, from the beginning abstained from his wife, that God would give him not the confirmation, but the okay if he wants to go down that road. So therefore, from the fact that Moshe, and from Aharon and Miriam, that they second-guessed Moshe Rabbeinu, that must be that Moshe Rabbeinu did it on his own. Because if the V'atah po'amod, that means he was a tzivui, they would never be able to second guess. They did it with a commandment. They understood that Moshe Rabbeinu decided it on his own beforehand. And that, V'atah po'amod, is just, B'derech she'adam rotze lilech, b'amolichin oto. That's one way the Tosafot understands it. Then, towards the end of the Tosafot, he says, towards the end, he brings down a midrash, and the midrash brings down how. Let's read here. Amra Sipora. Sipora said, the wife of Moshe, "Oy lahem lenoshetehem shel elu," which means when Eldar and Medad, they were two prophets, they were prophesizing in the middle of the camp. So when Sipora saw these two prophets prophesizing, she said, "Woe to their poor wives." Because she tells Aharon and Miriam, from the time that God started to talk to your brother, Moshe, Piresh mimeni miyad, Piresh mimeni, he abstained from me, he left me. Miyad, what does the Pasuk say? That the Daber Miriam and Aharon be Moshe. Mashma shelo yadru kodem lachen. Which means it's mashma until that point, they really didn't know exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. What, they didn't know that God told Moshe Rabbeinu that was the first time they realized that Moshe Rabbeinu was a celibate? Which means, on the contrary, Rabbeinu Tam says here, they really thought Atapo Amod Emadi was what? A commandment. So therefore, they never questioned Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, oh, God commanded him, Atapu Hamad Amadi, and that's what it is. When they heard Sipora say, oh, those poor prophets, you know, they're poor wives. They probably left their wives, just like my husband left me. So Aharon and Miriam said, what? Moshe Rabbeinu did that on his own? We always thought it was as a result of Atapu Hamad Amadi. So therefore, that was the impetus of the Lashon Hara of Miriam and Aaron. But the point is that Va'atapo Amod Madi, in their mind, either was Bederech Shadam Rotzei Lelech, that God was just agreeing to something that Moshe Rabbeinu decided, or they always interpreted it as a tzivui, and then when they heard from Tzipporah, react, they said, oh, it really wasn't a tzivui. It was Moshe Rabbeinu on his own doing such a thing. And that again, the Vatapo Amodim must have been just a Bederech Shadam Rotzei Lelech. So therefore, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu indeed did this on his own, and the pasuk is not a commandment; it's more of just God leading him down the path that He chose. Comes the Gemara and says, "Shavar et aluchot." Moshe Rabbeinu also broke the luchot; he broke the tablets that took place on Shavar Sar B'Tamuz. Right, he went up on Vav Sivan again for 40 days and came down. That's when they did the Egel. My darish, where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this that he could break the Luchot? Amar, he said, Uma Pesach Shu Echad Metiriyak Mitzvot. And what? We have the law of Korban Pesach, which is just one of the 613 Mitzvot. Amra Torah. The Torah says, Vechol Ben Nechal Yochalbo. Torah tells anybody that's a Ben Nechal. Ben Nechal means anybody that is estranged from Judaism, which means if you have a Jew that's a mumar that has rebelled against one of the mitzvot in the Torah, so he's called the Ben Nechar. So if a Jew is estranged from one of the mitzvot, so he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. HaTorah Kura Kan. Here I have not one mitzvah. I have the entire Torah over here I'm going to give them. V'Yisrael Mumarim. And now the Jewish people are rebelling and doing their Egel. Alahat Kama V'Kama. Enjoy them also, which means if a Jew is a mumar, he can't eat Korban Pesach, he can't bring Korban Pesach. That's one mitzvah. All them also, if the whole nation of his mumarim, they can't receive the Torah. How do we know that God agreed to Moshe that he broke the luchot? Shneimar asher shibarta. Right, the pasuk says that God tells Moshe. And he tells him, I'm going to write on the second tablets what was written on the first. That was that you broke. Asher shibarta. So the Gemara says, Asher over here is coming to say like Ashrecha, which means fortunate are you, like giving him strength. Yishar kohaka, your strength should be confirmed that you broke it. Jeez, this was a confirmation that God said, Asher Shibarta, we saw him, Hazaku Baruch Shibarta. Very good that you broke it. So the rabbis ask, what, every time it says the word Asher in the Torah, that teaches us that God's giving an approval, which means Asher Shibarta literally means that you broke. Where did we learn over here? Yishar kohaka, that God's strengthening him. So I saw one of the mefashim bring down, because it says, what did God tell Moshe to do with the broken tablets? It says Vesamtam ba'aron, place them in the aron. Now, if God did disapprove to the breaking of the luchot, why would He want them to keep them? Obviously, they wanted them to keep them because they were precious. Because obviously, it was not disobedience that Moshe Rabbeinu did. This was something that was proper. So, therefore, the fact that it says Vesamtam ba'aron, that God wanted to preserve these luchot, so Ela must be Moshe Rabbeinu did something correctly, and therefore Asher Shibarta is being nidrash Yishar kohaka Asher Shibarta. The only question is, why is this considered something Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own? It seems you had a good Kal Vachomer. And if you have a good Kal Vachomer, as we learned, that's considered Deoraita. So the Tosafot says, Enze Kal Vachomer Gamur. Again, it's not a Kal Vachomer, full Kal Vachomer. The Imumar Asur Bepesach Shu Korban, Mikol Kovnoya Lomnoa Melitenem HaTorah Ola Aziram B'Tshuva. Which means, you could argue, you could say, alright, listen, you can't bring a Korban if you're a Mumar, but maybe if you're a Mumar, give them the Torah, and the Torah will change them, the Torah will bring them to Teshuvah. So it's really not a full Kal Vachomer, that's why it's considered Moshe Rabbeinu did it on his own, but Moshe Rabbeinu, God still agreed. Tashema, come in here, we have a Pasuk. Pasuk says, Veheyu nechonim layom ashilishi, which means it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, be ready on the third day. Be ready on the third day. So the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbi Yosef. This is a question on Rabbi Yosef, because let's review again. Rabbi Yosef says what? Rabbi Yosef said that the Pirisha took place on Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But we know the Torah was not given until Shabbat. So how does Rabbi Yosef learn this pasuk of Ve'yu nechonim liyom ha-shilishi? It's not yom ha-shilishi. It should really say yom ha-rabi'i. So the Gemara says, we answered this already. Ha-amrinan, we said already, yom ehad osit Moshe medato. That Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, he added one day on his own. That was one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He added the extra day, and therefore the Torah was given the following day. Tashema, come and listen. Actually, let's read this Rashi together, Rabotai. Ha amran yom ehad hosif. Dibura matchil. Ve'ay kera deviyu nechonim yom ha-shilishi. This pasuk over here that says, be prepared for the third day. Kudsha berichu amarle. That was actually God said those words. Be ready on the third day. So if it's Wednesday, it means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Moshe amar lehem. Moshe Rabbeinu changed it a little. He said, "Heyu nechonim l'shloshet yamim." He said, "Be ready for the 3 days, not on the third day, but he said for the 3 days." Ve'lo amar leyom ha-shilishi, ela pirshu gimel yamim. So therefore, as we learned earlier, that it means 3 full days, which means he waited an extra day, like we made the derasha above. Comes Gemara and says, Tashema.
Rashi's holding that it was on Wednesday.
I know, Rabbi Yosef is holding it on Wednesday. We're in the Rabbi Yosef's Shita. Which means Rabbi Yosef is explaining it, Alibad, to the question of the Gemara, to the answer. Gemara says, which means it was Yom HaShilishi after you had 2 complete days. Which is the first day, Wednesday, was not a complete day. Then Moshe Rabbeinu made the Dirasha Mahar Kayom, Yom Kemahar, which is usually 2 full days. So that gets you Thursday, Friday. So that was Shabbat. Tashema, come and listen. We have a statement that says the following. Shilishi, the third, Shilishi Bachodesh, it was the third of the month, Ushlishi b'Shabbat, and it was the third day of the week. Now, the Gemara is making derasha. We'll see exactly what this statement was referring to. But the statement says, Shilishi, the third, Shilishi b'Chodesh, was the third of the month, that's the month of Sivan, which was Shilishi b'Shabbat, which was a Tuesday. So the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbanan. That is a question according to the rabbis, which means, according to the rabbis, when was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? On a Monday. That means Monday was day one, right? That means Tuesday was Bet. Over here we have a statement that says that Tuesday was the third of the month. So that's really a proof too to be your sake, because if you say Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, Tuesday was the third day. But it's a question according to the rabbis. So the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rabbanan, amani Rabbi Yosef. So okay, rabbis said, what do you want from us? That statement is going according to Rabbi Yosef. Means that statement was not according to us. We don't agree with that statement. So the Gemara now is going to explain what the statement actually was referring to. What does it mean? Shilishi, Shilishi, Lachodesh, Shilishi, Shabbat. Gemara is going to explain. Shilishi lemai. What do you mean it was the third day for what? What's the context of this pasuk over here? Lichdetanya. So it's going according to what we learned in this braita. So Gemara says, we have a pasuk. Pasuk says over here, Vayashev Moshe et devrei ha'am el Hashem. One of the pasukim, it says, God went back, Moshe went back to God, and he told them what the people said. Vayashiv Moshe et devrei ha'am el Hashem. Uchtiv, and it says in the pasuk further, Vayaged Moshe et devrei ha'am el Hashem. Right after that it says, and Moshe Rabbeinu went and told God what they said. Now obviously, there were 2 things over here. The first pasuk writes, and I'll quote you the pasuk, Vayanu kol ha'am ya'da vayomeru, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. The Jewish people told Moshe Rabbeinu, we're in, we accept. Vayashem Moshe diber ha'am el Hashem. Good. So Moshe Rabbeinu went back to God and told him, the Jewish people said, Naaseh. The next pasuk writes, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe eni anuchi ba'anecha ba'aveh anan. Tell the people that I'm going to come with them in a cloud. And they're going to believe in you forever. So the Gemara wants to know, that second Vayaged, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell God about the people? Which means there must have been a second dialogue over here that the Jewish people must have said something that Moshe Rabbeinu went back to God to tell them, to tell God what they said. Od pam, the pasuk starts off and says, "Vayashev Moshe et devrei ha'am el Hashem." That means what? Moshe went back to report what the people said. What's the second pasuk then telling us? Which is, we didn't see anything else in between except that God came down in a cloud, or God told Moshe that I'm going to come down in a cloud, and then the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told God what they said. So the Gemara asks, Ma amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe? What did God tell Moshe? Uma amar le Moshe li Yisrael? And subsequently then, what did Moshe relay to Israel? Uma amru Yisrael le Moshe? And what did the Jewish people reply to Moshe? Uma yishi Moshe le Gemurah? That Moshe Rabbeinu went back to God. We're missing a point of this story. So Gemara says, Zu mitzvat hakbala. This is referring to the mitzvah of Hagbalah, which the Gemara is telling us a big hadush over here. Which means like this. On the third day, which means on Tuesday before Matan Torah, that's when the mitzvah of Hagbalah was given. Hagbalah means that the Jewish people had to surround the mountain, fence it off, and they were not allowed to come close to the mountain. Not them, and not the animals. Now that was given on Tuesday. Moshe Rabbeinu went down to the people. The people said, we accept. So Moshe Rabbeinu went back on Wednesday, and Basuk that says, Vayaged Moshe Devrei Ha'am, that's referring to the acceptance of the law of Hagbalah. Now we must appreciate this Gemara, because when you look at the Pisukim, the subject of Hagbalah is not written until even after the introduction of the law of Pirisha. Now Pirisha is the law of abstinence. Now we know that the Pirisha commandment was given on Wednesday. And it's coming out now that the Hagbalah commandment was given on Tuesday. So if you read the text of the Torah, it's out of order, so to speak. You can get confused. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them about the Pirisha. Then after that tells Hagbalah. Hagbalah actually happened before Pirisha. And that pasuk that says that Moshe Rabbeinu went back to God and told God what the people said, that was regarding their agreement to the law of Hagbalah. Then on Wednesday, God then said, now go tell the people the law of Pirisha. Hence, the pasuk over here, Vayaged, was done on Bayom HaShlishi, which means that which they accepted on Yom HaShlishi, which was the law of Hagbalah, which was the third day of the month, which was the third day of the week. That it's regarding the law of Hagbalah that was given on Tuesday. So that's what that statement meant. So we learned above, Tashema, Shlishi, Shlishi Bachor Shlishi B'Shabbat. That was telling us that it was on the third day that God gave the law of Hagbalah to the Jewish people, and on that day they accepted it, and subsequently Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to tell God, and that's what the pasuk means, Vayaged Moshe et devrei ha'am el Hashem. So comes the Gemara and says, devrei Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. That's the way Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda learns this statement. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi has a different understanding. Matchila Pirish Onsha says like this. First, Moshe Rabbeinu explained the punishments, the onashim, of if a person is not going to fulfill the Torah. He gave them the punishments. Dichtiv, Vayashiv Moshe. The word Vayashiv Moshe, he learns, Devarim Shemeshabebin Dato Shel Adam. He learns, don't learn by Yashiv that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to God and returned. He learns by Yashiv means from Nashon Meshabbebin, which means things that cause a person to reject, or things that cause a person to desist. Changing, you scare a person, you tell them if you don't do this, it's going to be a punishment. So that causes the person to get scared. Vayashiv Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told the people things that are mishabev them, that would cause them to reject it. Meaning, first he told them the onashim of the Torah. Ulbesof, Pirish Matan Secharan. And then he gave them the reward. Dichtiv, Vayaged Moshe. What do we learn from Vayaged? Devarim Shemoshkim, the Boshel Adam, Ke Agada. Vayaged comes like Agada, Agada, stories. Things that draw people close, like stories. So first he told them the thing that pushes them away. That's the Vayashiv. And then he gave them the Vayaged. So therefore the way that he's learning, not like he went up, he told, no, these are just giving you the order of how Moshe Rabbeinu told the people about the Torah. He gave them the punishments first, and then he gave them the reward. Vayashiv is the punishments, Vayaged is the reward. V'ikad ha'amri, and some say the exact opposite. V'tchina pirish matan sechara. First he gave them the rewards that they keep the Torah. Dichtiv. Vayashiv Moshe. How did this rabbi learn the word Vayashiv? Devarim shemeshivim dato shel adam. Things that are miyashiv dato, that calm a person down, that appease him, that settle him. That's the reward. Pirish oncha. And then he gave him the reward, the punishments. Why? Dichtiv. Vayaged Moshe. What is Vayaged? Devarim shekashim le'adam kegidim. What is a gid? Gid is like a bitter herb. And therefore he told them things that are like Vayaged. Things that are like, things that are bitter. So bottom line, we have three opinions then now in this statement, what exactly these pesukim mean. But bottom line, the way we're understanding it according to the first opinion was, it was Hagbalah on the third day, which was the Tuesday, or that's referring to the Kelalot, and then the Berachot, or the Sachar, or the Sachar, or the Onish, whichever one came first. Come to Gemara brings another statement. Tashema, come and listen. We have a statement. Shishi, Shishi b'chodesh, Shishi b'shabbat. It was the sixth of the month, which was the sixth of the week, which means Shishi b'Shabbat is Friday. The statement is saying Friday was the sixth of the month, which was the sixth to something else, which we'll see. Now, which opinion says Friday was the sixth of the month? That has to be going according to the B'Yoseh, because the B'Yoseh says Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. So therefore Friday must have been the 6th. But according to the Hachamim that say Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, Friday was not the 6th. The Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbanan. This statement is a Kasha according to the Rabbis. Gemara says, Hanami the B'Yoseh. Okay, what do you want? This statement is also going like the B'Yoseh. So the Gemara says, okay, Shishi l'Mai. What did that statement mean? Meaning it was the 6th day of the month, which was the 6th of the week, which was the sixth to something. Shishi lemai, the Gemara wants to know. What was that statement referring to? She's very similar to the last statement we had. So the Gemara says, Vava amar lahaniyatan, which means it was the sixth day from when they camped. When did they encamp at Har Sinai? On Sunday. So it's saying, this was 6 days later from when they encamped at Har Sinai, which was on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, "Ravacha bar Yaakov Amar leMasa'an." He looks at it differently. He says, "You know what it means? It was the sixth day from when they last traveled." Meaning, according to Ravacha bar Yaakov, he learns that they actually traveled on Sunday from Refidim. That's where they were right before Sinai. And they got to Sinai on the same day. So therefore you could look at it from both ways. You could look at it, it was 6 days from when they encamped, or it was 6 days from when they last traveled. Because Sunday was the day they last traveled also, because that's when they left Refidim to come to Midbar Sinai. So Od Pam, when the statement says, there was the 6th day from, it means either the 6th day from when they camped, meaning Friday was the sixth day from when they camped at Har Sinai on Sunday, or it was when landed, or it was the sixth day from when they last traveled, because the last time they traveled was on Sunday. Didn't they travel on Sunday? How did they get to Har Sinai? How did it come from somewhere? So they came from the Phoenicians. That's all the same is telling you. So the Gemara says, "Vekamifnig." You know what the machloket over here is? One rabbi says it's the sixth day from encampment. One rabbi says it was the sixth day from they traveled. It's a big machloket over here. It's a big machloket over here. The Gemara says, "Vekamifnig." B'Shabbat Demara. We know that the Jewish people receive certain mitzvot before Matan Torah. In the city of Mara, it says the Jewish people received the law of Shabbat. This was before Matan Torah. So there's a mahloket, to what extent was the laws of Shabbat given to them in Mara, which was given before Matan Torah. Dichtiv, like it says, Kashir Sivicha Hashem Elohecha, which means in the Asir and the Berot, when it tells us about the law to keep Shabbat, it says, keep the Shabbat as I commanded you. Mashma, that what? That Shabbat was really commanded to us before Matan Torah. The Amar of Yehuda Marab, Kashir Sivicha B'Mara. Kashir Sivicha is referring to when the Jewish people were in Mara. Mor Sabar, one rabbi says, as Shabbat Ifkud, they were commanded on the law of Shabbat, Atechumin lo ifkud. However, they were not commanded on the law of Tchum Shabbat, Umor Sabar, and the other rabbis is Atechumin nami ifkud. They were also commanded on Techumin. Now, if they were commanded on Techumin, that means they weren't allowed to go out of the borders, they were not to travel more than a certain distance because Tchum was given to them. So that means when did they have to travel to Har Sinai? They must have left on Sunday because they couldn't travel on Shabbat. So that opinion, by saying it was 6 days from when they last traveled, is telling us that they traveled on Sunday because they got the laws of Tehomin already from before. The opinion that says no, it was the sixth day from when they camped, that means really they traveled on Shabbat. So they camped on Sunday. That's teaching you what? That all the laws of Shabbat were given at Mara, but the laws of Tchum were not. Therefore, they were able to travel on Shabbat. So that this mahlukah is very significant. This mahlukah is telling you to the extent of Shabbat at Mara. If you say, which you want to know history now, what was given at Mara? Shabbat was given. What extent? All the laws of Shabbat, every single case? So the Gemara thought, is that actually a machloket? Was Tchum given to them at that time or not? If you say Tchum was given to them at that time, they were not allowed to travel on Shabbat, because you're going outside the borders. So it must be, when did they travel?
Sunday.
Very good. And that's what the statement in the Braita has said, that what? That it was 6 days from when they traveled. It's Friday, right before Matan Torah, the 6th of Sivan, was 6 days from when they last traveled. When's the last time they traveled? Sunday. Because they couldn't travel on Shabbat, because they had Tchum already. But according to the opinion that says, no, it was 6 days from when they camped. Why did he say camped? Because they didn't travel on that day. Outside. When did they really travel outside the Tchum? They traveled already from the day before, from Shabbat. Implying what? That there was no Tchum. Therefore, they were allowed to travel even on Shabbat, because the Shabbat of Mara was limited. Now, we should point out that this is not a proof to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says Tehum is the Oraita. Because from here it sounds like the laws of Tehumim are the Oraita. Because we had all Mahloket, is the law of Tehum the Oraita? What's the, you see clearly over here, it's the Oraita. We're discussing, was the law of Tehum given? Was it not given? So the Tosfot points out that when we say Tehum over here, we don't necessarily mean Tehum, we mean the laws of carrying. Which means, were the laws of carrying given in Shabbat Mara? Because obviously when the Jewish people traveled, they were carrying things. So therefore, if you said the laws of carrying were given, so they couldn't travel on Torah because they were carrying their goods, so they had to wait till Sunday. If you said the laws of carrying weren't given, they couldn't travel even on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, come and listen. Nisan, Shebo Yatzu Yisrael in Mitzrayim. The Nisan, the year that we left Egypt, Barba'a Asar Shahatu Pisahim. So on the 14th of Nisan, we slaughtered our Qurban Pesach before we left Egypt. Ubahamisha Asar Yatsu, We left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. The following night was Makat Bechorot. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The following night was Makat Bechorot. On the contrary, the Makat Bechorot was the night before. So the Gemara says, Ela, Mibbe'erev Laku Bechorot. You have to change it. It means from the night before was Makat Bechorot, which is the 14th at night. The Otoayom. Now that night, that the Jewish, or that day, the Jewish people left Egypt, Hamishi b'Shabbat haya, was a Thursday, and that's what we want to get to. Geez, the Exodus took place on 15 Nisan. 15 Nisan was on a Thursday. So now we're going to start analyzing, because Sivan is just a few months away. So knowing the day of the Exodus, 15 Nisan, now we can make a calendar now to know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, when Matan Torah was, and we're able to now analyze which of the opinions is correct. So now already we have a starting point. 15th of Nisan, Thursday. Now the Gemara says, Medahamisar b'Nisan Hamisha b'Shabbat. If you're telling me that the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday, Resh Yarchad Iyar Shabbeta. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is the second month, must have been on Shabbat. Let's figure that out. If Thursday is the 15th, so you have 15, 22, 29. So the 29th is still a Thursday. Okay? Then you have, let's go slow. The 30 would be a Friday, and then Rosh Chodesh Iyar would be on a Shabbat. Now this assumes, of course, that you have to say the month of Nisan was a full month. Now, Rashi tells us, Shari Nisan Malehu Le'olam. That's the rule in the calendar. Nisan is always a full month. So now we got to Rosh Chodesh Iyar, we're holding by Shabbat. Now if that's the case, Veresh Yarchad Desivan Had B'Shabbat. That means a month later on Rosh Chodesh, Sivan must have been on Sunday. Let's figure that out. Shabbat is 1. Iyar. You have 1, 8, 15, 22, 29. So the 29th was a Shabbat. Now there's no 30, because the last month was 30. So if the last month was 30, this month is a 29. So that means Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday. Now that's only going according to the opinion of the B'Yoseh. But the rabbis that said Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on a Monday, this calculation is difficult. So the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbanan. It's a Kasha for the rabbis' opinion. Gemara says, Amar lecha Rabbanan, the rabbis will tell you, Iyar da'ishata abure abruha. That month, that year, Iyar also had 30 days. So therefore, it was back-to-back 30 days. Therefore, you push it up one day. Therefore, in Echinami, Rosh Chodesh was on a Monday. Rosh Chodesh Sivan comes out on a Monday. Okay. Tashema. Oh, but we have a statement. Delo ebruha Nisan shebo yatzu Yisrael memisraim, which means we have a statement that says delo ebruha, that they did not make it a 30-day. Why? Because it says Nisan shebo yatzu Yisrael memisraim arba'asar shatu pesachim, on the 14th day of the month they slaughtered their korban pesach. B'chamisha asar yatzu, on the 15th day they left. Ule'erev, and that night nakum bechorot. That night, Gemara says, La'erev sakadadak. Ela'em amin be'erev. I'll get to say the night before Nakum v'chorot. Ve'otu ayom in the day that they left, Hamishi b'Shabbat haya. Good, so we're back to the same point now. It was Thursday. Hishlim Nisan, right? They finished the month of Nisan. Ve'ira Iyar liyot b'Shabbat. Good, so far so good. Rosh Chodesh Iyar came out on Shabbat, exactly like we said. That means the 15th was Thursday. So 15, 22, 29 is also a Thursday. 30 was Friday. Rosh Chodesh Iyar comes out on a Shabbat. Now the statement says, Haser Iyar. Iyar was only a 29 day. And therefore, Ve'ira Sivan Yod Be'ad B'Shabbat. So how can the rabbis come along and tell me, no, that year
Iyar was full. Clearly we have a statement over here that says Iyar was chaser. And therefore Rosh Chodesh Sivan came out on the Sunday. So Gemara says, Kasha the Rabbanan. It is indeed a kasha on the rabbis. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm married to Biyosei. Again, the same answer. What do you want? That statement is going according to Rabbi Yosef. But geez, you can't ask me a question. I'll tell you that's going like Rabbi Yosef. I argue with that. We have statements that will tell you that Iyar was Mane. Amar Papa. The Papa says, Tashema. Come and listen. Vayis'u me'elim. It says the Jewish people traveled from Elim. Vayavou kol adat b'nei Yisrael midbar sin. The Jewish people got to midbar sin, I'm meaning the full pasuk. Asher ben Elim ben Ser b'hamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha'sheni l'setah me'ez b'slam. Which means the Jewish people got to a place called midbar sin on the 15th day of the second month. So the second month is Iyar. So we have a fact now. Torah tells us this fact. 15 Iyar, we get to Midbar Sin. So the Gemara says, "Bahamisha atzar yom lachodesh hashini ve'oto hayom Shabbat haya." We're going to prove that the 15th of Iyar was Shabbat. How? Dichti, because it says when they got to Midbar Sin, it says they were complaining there was no food. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, "Uboker uritem et kevod Hashem." Says in the morning you're going to see the glory of God. Which means tomorrow morning you're going to see the glory of God. Uchtiv sheshet yamim tilketu. 6 days you will collect it. Meaning that was when the man started to fall. Now, if he's telling him tomorrow you're going to see the glory of God and 6 days you're going to collect it, must be today was Shabbat. The man started falling on a Sunday, and because Moshe Rabbeinu said 6 days you're going to collect it, and then the seventh day it's not. So therefore we proved here that on that day, the 15th of Iyar, when they got to Midbar Sin, was indeed a Shabbat. So now the Gemara makes the calculations. So now you're telling me what? That the 15th of Iyar was Shabbat. Resh yalcha de Sivan had the Shabbat. So that must be that Rosh Chodesh Sivan has to be on a Sunday. Because the 15th was on a Shabbat. Iyar has 29 days. And that's the way it normally goes. Nisan is Maleh and Iyar is Chaser. That's the way the calendar goes. One is Maleh and one is Chaser. So therefore, if the 15th of Iyar was Shabbat, so therefore, you have, 15, 22, 29 is also Shabbat. And therefore, one, which is a Shabbat, Sivan, is going to be a Sunday. Kasha le Rabbanan. So the rabbis come back and say, Ami lecha Rabbanan. Iyad ha'ushata, abure abruha. So he comes along and says, no, I can answer that year, I'll hold that Iyad was full. And therefore, you push it up a day to Monday. Amar le Rav. Now we change the name here. Rav Aseh. Mechuzna'a l'rav Asher. Tashema, come and listen, come and hear. Vehi b'chodesh harishon b'shana ha'shenit b'echad l'chodesh hukama mishkan. Now we're going to go way out. We're going to go to the second year in the Midbar and find dates and then work ourselves backwards from the second year. Now, one of the dates that the Torah tells us in the second year that the Jewish people were in the wilderness was the day that the Mishkan was erected, the inauguration of the Mishkan. When did that happen? Bashana Shenit, right? Bachodesh Arishon, which is Nisan, Be'had Lachodesh. So we know, we're talking about, we don't know what day it is yet, but we know it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Gemara says, Tana Reva Braita, Oto Yom, that day that the Mishkan was inaugurated, Natal Eser Atarot. That day had 10 crowns to it, which means 10 major things took place on that day. There's 10 crowns that we place, so to speak, on the day of the inauguration. Why? What was this day so significant? Rishon Maaseh Bereshit. First of all, it's the anniversary of when the world was created. Which Jesus' opinion is going according to the opinion that says that the world was created in Nisan. So that's the first thing. Rashi says, She'ehad b'shabataya. Now obviously we know that the world was created, day one was Sunday. And therefore they're saying that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim was a Sunday. Which this was the anniversary of when the world was created. Now, we're going to continue the other nine things. Rishon l'Nesiim. It was also the first day that the Nesiim started to bring, the presidents of each tribe brought their korban for the subsequent 12 days for the Hanukkah Mizbeah. Rishon Kehuna. It was also the first day that Aharon and his children were inaugurated as Kohanim. Until that point, the Kehuna was given to the firstborns. But on that day, Kehuna was shifted to Aharon. Rishon La'avodah. That was the first day that she says that the public offerings were brought. That she says, for example, the Korban Tamid. Rishon Liridat Ta'esh. That was the first day that the fire came down from heaven and ignited the Mizbeah. And that fire remained on the Mizbeah throughout their journey in the Midbar. This was a miraculous thing. Rishon Achilat Kodashim. That was also the first day that they ate sacrificial meat within the walls or the curtains of the Mishkan. She said, till then you ate Kodashim, you know, outside in the wilderness. Now you had to eat it in a designated place. Rishon, and I'm going to read the Agat Abbas text over there, Lishkon Bi Yisrael. It was the first day that Shekhinah rested in Israel. Like the Pasuk says, Va'asuli Mikdash, V'shakati B'tokam. That day the Shekhinah came back down to rest in Israel. Rishon Lebarechet Yisrael. It was the Birkat Kohanim. It was the first day that Aharon blessed the Jewish people with the priestly blessing, Birkat Kohanim. Rishon Isur Abamot. It was also the first day that private altars became forbidden. Once you had the Mishkan, you needed to bring the Korbanot only in the Mishkan proper. You cannot bring it in private korban, private altars. Rishon Nechodashim. And for that matter, it was also Rishon Nechodashim. It's the first of the months of the year, which means that is the first of the calendar months. So we see that day had 10 special things, besides the fact that the Mishkan was inaugurated. Now we analyze. If you tell me that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year was on a Sunday, right? Because we said it's the commemoration of the anniversary of the creation of the world. The world started on a Sunday, obviously day one. So now we're going to go back a year. De'ishtakad bedalid b'Shabbat. Must be that a year before that, Rosh Chodesh Nisan must have been on a Wednesday. Why? Because we have a rule. Our calendar, which is a lunar calendar, is 354 days. Now, 354, just to make the math for you, is not divisible by perfect weeks of seven. 350 is divisible by seven. Okay? That'll take you to 50 weeks. 50 pure, clean weeks. 50 times. 7, 3, 50. So you're short 4. So there's always going to be a discrepancy, or not a discrepancy, a difference of 4 days from year to year. So if we're going backwards now, if in year 2, Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Sunday, so you're going to have to, a year before that, push it back 4 days. So that would make Rosh Chodesh Nisan in year 1 on a Wednesday. That's the Gemara's calculation. And the Gemara proves that. Netanya, the Gemara's just going to give you this calculation, whatever Braita. Acharim omrim, en ben atzeret la atzeret, ve'en ben Rosh Hashanah la Rosh Hashanah, el adali damim bilvad. Which means every year, the difference in Rosh Hashanah, or let's say Shavuot, it's always going to fluctuate 4 days, because you constantly have a difference of 4 days. Because again, 350 is divisible by 7. So those are pure weeks. And then you can have a remainder four. So they're saying like Rosh Hashanah every year will fluctuate 4 days, some eat from the one that was last year, and Shavuot as well. Now if it was a leap year, Hamisha. Hamisha. Why? Because in a leap year we had an extra month. How many days are in that month? 29. Well, 4 weeks is 28. So 28 is still the same day. So you have one extra day, the 29th day, so it's going to be off by 5 days. The point is, comes out in the first year, we're saying the Chodesh Nisan was on a Wednesday. Right? So Gemara says, that means a month later, Rosh Chodesh Iyar must have been Ma'ale Shabbeta on a Friday. Let's figure that out. That means we're talking Wednesday, right? So it's 1, 8, 15, 29. The 29th was on a Wednesday. That means the 30th was on a Thursday. That means Rosh Chodesh Iyar must have been on the first, which was on a Friday. Good so far? So Gemara says, Vereshadhad de Sivan, and now the Rosh Chodesh of Sivan, 29 days later, Shabbeta. Let's figure that out. Because if you say Rosh Chodesh Iyar was a Friday, so that's 1, 8, 15, 29. 29 Iyar was also on a Friday. The next day was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That must have been on a Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Kasha ben Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbanan. Now it's a question on everybody. Because Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanan, their argument was Rosh Chodesh Sivan Sunday or Monday. But according to this calculation, it was on a Shabbat. This is a question according to everybody. Nobody says Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Shabbat. So comes the Gemara and says, which means they're going to have to adjust that year. Normally in a regular year, to get the 354 days, we make 6 months full months, and 6 months chaser, which means 6 30-day months and 6 29-day months. So you have altogether that equals 2,354. That year, Rabbi Yosef tells us, Shiva chaserin avud. They did 7 29-day months, 7 chasers, and 5 30-day months. So therefore,
353 days.
Very good. It's 353 days. And therefore, what happens is, the Rosh Chodesh Sivan is going to be off by an extra day. Because really, they made 7 months that were chaser, and therefore Rosh Chodesh Sivan, according to that calculation, that year will indeed come out on a Sunday. Whereas the rabbis came along and said, Het Hasirin Avud. They said they made that year 8 29-day months. So you had 8 29-day months, 4 30-day months, so the year was 352. Now again, we're going backwards. So if it's 352, so therefore Rosh Chodesh Sivan, according to him, comes out indeed on a Monday. Let's just read Rashi for a second, gentlemen. We conclude. Zayin Haserim Avud, the bottom line in Rashi. Ve'lo ayu ela gimel ben Pesach lePesach. Which means instead of normally the 4 day gap between year to year, it was a 3 day gap. Right? Because it was not a 354 day year, it was a 53-day year. So instead of having to go back 4 days, you only go back, you go back 3 days. 3 day difference. Hilkach, tishtekad, b'hamisha, b'shabbat. Fine, which means, and therefore, it goes, according to that, it'll come out, the Shchodesh Sivan indeed is on a Sunday, whereas the rabbis came along and said there was only 2 day difference, so therefore it came out on Monday. And then, amen.